Hi everyone and welcome to the 48th episode of Praticamente Inglese. Hope you're doing well, guys. Hope you had a great weekend and the weather is nice. We are getting close to summertime and will be amazing. Everything is reopening. We are all in yellow zones and we will be very soon in white zones. That's quite exciting. So I would like to, first of all, guys, we are getting close to episode number 50. We should organize a party or something like that to celebrate this great achievement. It's unbelievable that I'm almost at 50 episodes posted on this podcast. Remember to subscribe on your favorite platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcast. Praticamente Inglese is everywhere. And you can follow the podcast on the Facebook, YouTube, on Instagram, Telegram, everywhere, Clubhouse. You can reach out to me, sending a DM on LinkedIn. I really love your feedback. And with a DM on LinkedIn, I've met Eliana, which is today's guest. She is an architect and she had the same experience as myself. She lived in London for 5 years, I believe. And so she had this experience in a firm. And that would be great to ask a few questions about how is working abroad, the working environment, and the CV. I'm trying to bring value to you asking those questions to her. She will be with us in a few seconds. I would like to also tell you that Praticamente Inglese is on Patreon as well. Who wants to support the podcast can do it on patreon.com/Mattia Morelli. So we're trying to build a community of supporters around this podcast, and we practice English, we train ourselves to speak English. Io non sono un insegnante d'inglese, però mi piace, mi sento in una piccola missione con questo podcast. Mi piacerebbe vedere tanti più italiani possibili che elevano il loro livello d'inglese e vedere l'effetto che fa, perché poter studiare su libri in lingua originale, poter vedere film, documentari, formazione in lingua originale, poter comunicare con persone da tutto il mondo, ragazzi, è un qualcosa di fantastico che può aprire milioni di porte. E poi una cosa prima di iniziare con l'intervista di oggi, io credo che la pratica, poter imporsi di dedicare 15, 20, 30 minuti al giorno ascoltando l'inglese, parlando l'inglese anche da soli in macchina dove volete o comunque leggendo in inglese possa essere la migliore soluzione per far sì che poi da qui a 300 giorni da adesso possa essere l'inglese molto più fluente nel quando comunicate con l'inglese o quando lo ascoltate o quando lo leggete. So, let's get started with today's episode and welcome to Eliana. Hi, Eliana.
Hi, Mattia. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you here today with us on Praticamente Inglese podcast. We're trying to, interview people that have something to say, advice, tips on how to improve English. And you are, the perfect guest for me, as you had a long experience, I think, in London. And, you should tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Thank you very much. My career hasn't been really straight. In fact, I studied architecture in Venice and then I moved to the UK where I worked as an architect for about 5 years. But after that, I realized I really enjoyed teaching English. So I got this certificate called TEFL, which is teaching English as a foreign language. And so I came back to Italy where I was teaching in a language school. And then after that, now I'm teaching privately here in Belluno, where I live.
Nice. So you had 5 years experience in London in an, you are an architect, right?
Yes, I am qualified. Yeah,
and then you now switched to English teacher.
Correct, yes.
Amazing. So you are the best guest ever because you can give us a little bit of tips and advice on how to improve our spoken English. And, this is all about this podcast, let's say. But how was your experience working abroad in a firm?
So it was quite obviously very important for me to see how you can work in the UK. I worked in three different practices, but I can speak about the one where I spent more time, and the one that was a medium size, so about 20 people. So the structure was quite hierarchical in the sense that we were divided in three teams. Each one had a project architect, and under that there were different levels of assistants. In fact, also assistants had different levels in the UK, part one, two, and three. I was one of them. The thing that really that I really appreciated in this environment is that I found it really equal, fair, let's say. I remember at the very beginning, they were asking me, what do you think about this project, Eliana? What do you think about that? And I was quite surprised about it because I wasn't used to it in Italy when I was working as an intern.
So what's the main difference between, Italy and, in this case, the UK?
I would say that you are a bit more considered. If, from my experience, obviously, I don't know about the audience, but in my experience, I felt a bit more considered. I would be given more responsibilities compared to what I had in a practice in Italy.
You mean an internship? You were doing an internship, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
You as an intern, you had more responsibilities.
Correct.
You were more considered as a proper employee. This is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, more or less. I wasn't an internship in the UK, but I could see the differences between young professionals in UK and in Italy. They are paid more. They are given more responsibilities. They work hard, and so they grow faster.
And also, you know, there's another difference. Of course, I had exactly your experience. So me too, I had the chance to work in London for 6 years. And yes, the salary is higher compared to Italy, but the cost of life as well is very high. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, when I was saying to my friends about my salary, they were shocked because, of course, it was really high compared to Italy. But at the end of the day, the rents are higher, transportations are a big cost, and living there in the everyday life is actually more expensive. Drinks, a Prosecco was about £7, for example.
Yeah.
concerts, but also, you know, just living there, it is actually more expensive.
Yeah, I remember in a Starbucks in the morning, if you want to, you know, order a coffee, that coffee could cost you up to £3.54. So
oh my
it's
gosh.
Like almost €5, you know, for a, you know, this like big cup, very, very, very tall cup. But in general, it's like shocking if you think about Italy, where a cappuccino is €1.20, €1.30. At, you know, €1.50, the maximum you can spend for a cappuccino, no? And yeah, the cost of life is very, very high. But coming back to your experience in the firm, what about the CV? I found as well quite a few differences between the Italian CV, come si dice, il CV europeo, no? Lo standard europeo.
I think it's called Europass or something like that. Yes, I totally... agree, there are differences. If you are a person who is thinking of moving abroad, please don't put your picture on your CV, as this is frowned upon, mal visto.
Okay.
Because the person who hires you shouldn't be influenced by your aspect, how you look like, from a racial point of view, but also.
Age as well, you know.
Age, absolutely.
Age.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter the age, right? It doesn't really matter if you are 25 or you are 45, right?
Exactly, absolutely. Or if you're a man or a woman, you shouldn't be judged, influenced by that. Yes. So never put your picture on your CV.
First advice.
Okay. Second thing, yes. At the end of the CV, you should put a small sentence, which is references available upon request. Okay. References are that sort of review that you get from your old employer. And I found in my experience that this is more common in the UK to contact your old employer to see, to have references, to have feedbacks on your skills or your behavior.
Your attitude, your experience, mm-hmm. and so forth. Yes, you're absolutely right. I remember as well, reference on request. So, su richiesta, potete contattare il mio previous employer, quindi il mio precedente datore di lavoro, per sapere di me. Perché ci si lascia anche abbastanza bene. Vabbè, anche in Italia questo avviene, però un po' meno. And also, I think the big difference between Italy and the UK, no? Here in Italy, you could spend 10, 15 years, 20 years within a company. In the UK, you move faster. You just you jump from a work to another in 2, 3, 4 years, right?
Absolutely. So
there's more, let's say, movement of people working for different from different employers. And also, if you want to step up in your career, sometimes it's a great thing to move in another firm, in another company, and so forth. So it's great you mentioned about the references, le referenze, because it's something really big in the UK. And you're right, here in Italy, I think it's not, right?
Yeah, I find that maybe in Italy they will ask you for that, but you're never sure if they will call you, if they will call them. And in England, you are sure that they will contact them. Another thing about the differences in this area is the salary expectations. I mean, during an interview, it's very common to speak about salary expectations. When you go for an interview, there is always that question. I remember you made a podcast on that topic.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing to talk about it, because it's part of the reason why you accept or not accept a job.
Yeah, it's true, because at the end of the day, it's not all about money, of course, but it's a big chunk, it's a big part of the decision. And also, another thing I would like to ask you, Eliana, is like at the end of the interview, you as a candidate, you ask more questions to the employer, to the HR manager or whatsoever is doing the interview, to know about the company, because you will decide as well if it's worth it for you moving to that company or not. And also, as you mentioned, salary expectations. So if there are benefits, if there are commissions and all those kind of thing, because I really need to know before accepting the job, right?
You're right. Asking questions is really important during an interview.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I remember that. And also, you have, whatever you get the job offer after the interview, no? You have in the UK 30 days notice usually that you have to give to your current employer, no? So if I got that job and I want to accept that offer, I will tell to the interviewer, hey, listen, I need to get back to my work and say that I'm leaving in 30 days. So if I want to accept your offer, you have to know that I will start working for you in a month time, right?
Exactly. It's called period notice. Yes. They ask you when you're ready to start, and if you have also holiday planned, which is, I think, it's really strange for us in Italy. And so you will tell them your timings, let's say.
And also another big thing I remember is like benefits, is, commissions and all those kind of thing. I mean, even in Italy now with the welfare the company welfare, you start having those kind of benefits. You know, they maybe give you the company car, they give you I don't know, tickets for you know, for your lunch, and things like that. That of course, even if the salary is not amazing, you will have more and more benefits that will compensate that, right?
Sure, exactly that. Yes,
and also, you know, you said about London. Of course, you know, it's my, let's say, second city, and my heart is still there. Of course, I remember there. You know, professional life is great. Career, you have great opportunities, right? Here in Italy, it's not like that. At the same time, the quality of life is quite different. Now, here you have great weather, the sea, you have a great food, restaurants, and it's not expensive as it is in the UK. I always say about the nursery, no? L'asilo. It was like €1,500, let's say, per month here.
That's
in Italy.
A lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. Here in Italy with €400, you have a great private nursery for them, you know. I'm talking about the monthly fee. No, and so there are so many differences. But of course, if you're looking to, you know, start your career properly and you want to grow within a multinational company, within a firm, or you know, in general, of course, London, the UK is a great, great place to be.
Totally agree with you. For me, it was a wonderful experience, and I would do that again and again. But as I always say, London asks you a lot, but it takes a lot from you too, because it's a very fast-paced city. Everything is fast-paced, is frenetico. Mm-hmm. And I found it a bit tiring after a while.
Yeah, true. Definitely true. Yeah. And then you need to grow fast if you want to have a family, because, you know, the money you need for your kids and nurseries and, you know, the playground, or, you know, going out in a restaurant. It's not like here that with €50, you can go out and have a pizza with your family. There is €50, maybe, you know, I don't want to say per person, but, you know, it's very expensive.
Almost.
Yeah, life is very, very expensive. But yeah. Anyway, a big thing about my podcast, Eliana, is like asking to my guests tips, advice about improving English, learn English, things that could really help them to better understand English, better speak English. Do you have any tips to share?
Of course I do.
Okay.
So, well, the most important thing you can do is speaking, obviously. So if you have a friend from abroad, you should do that. You should speak to them often. Of course, if you have a teacher, you can speak to her or him. But if you don't have anyone, you should try to speak to yourself. What I mean is to think in English. Whenever you have time for yourself and you are alone thinking, you should try to create an imaginary conversation in your mind. Maybe also questions and answers, so you can see if you have any gaps that need to be filled, like, maybe I miss some specific word, so mm-hmm. I can look up in the dictionary and improve my vocabulary.
Right. Yeah. And also, so the first step is to practice English. Try doing it in front of the mirror or in the car, but, you know, take some time to practice English. That's a good point. What else?
Okay, what else? Apps are very important. I recommend BBC Learning English. It is great for intermediate levels.
Okay.
Otherwise, Duolingo for lower levels. Listen to podcasts like this one, like Praticamente Inglese, and in general, listening without video. So you're used to, so you can focus on the actual listening. Read the news as well. I use The Guardian in a lot of my lessons.
Okay.
For example, reading the news from The Guardian or BBC News, CNN, Al Jazeera. different online newspapers could be useful.
And also, you told me before we started recording this episode, you told me something very, very nice about changing the language on your phone.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct. Yes, I say that to a lot of my students. They get scared at the beginning, but considering you know how your phone works already, if you change the language of your phone, it doesn't really affects you that much, but you would learn some specific words like cancel, for example, which is not cancellare but annullare, or the calendar. Some students struggle with the days of the week, so you remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, etc. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Yes, that's. I think it's.
I was thinking about it, and yeah, it definitely is a great tip. You know, impostazioni's settings, no, and so forth. In your when you go into your settings, you'll find so many words in English, but at the same time, you know already the translation because you know already. You know how was the menu in Italian, so. It's quite easy for you. What else? Anything else you want to share? Some experience you had with your students? I don't know.
Well, I've noticed that motivation is really important. So you should find you should try to learn English through your interests. So anything that you are interested in could be useful. Let's say you are really into sports. I don't know. Watch videos about that. Let's say you're really into cooking, have a look at recipes, follow chefs around the world who explain the recipes in English. Motivation is really important, so you should, you know, follow that lead.
Yeah, of course, it's much easier, you know, to play a video where, you know, people are talking about your topic, well, you know, things that you're interested in. So you really want to know about it, but if you switch in English, you kind of try to have both. So you practice English, listening to English, and at the same time, you get value, you get advice and tips on the matter, on the topic you would like to know more about, no? So that's another great tip.
Yes, or in general, also you can also listen to things you already listened or things you know already. So you know the topic. You just need to understand it in a different language.
Yeah, I always say to my little one that, for example, she perfectly knows a cartoon because she watched that cartoon maybe 10 times already, you know. so I'm trying to switch that cartoon in English because at the end of the day, she knows already the story.
That's
she
perfect.
She knows already what they are saying. So it's not complicated to switch in English, and at the same time you can pick a few words, and it could be great. I had an interview with Maria Cristina. She's a professor in Turin, and she told me about the fact that her little one. She doesn't know cartoons are in Italian as well.
Really?
Because,
wow.
Yeah, because she gave to her the tablet or, you know, the DVD, but only in English. So since she was, you know, I don't know, she was 2 years old, let's say, was able to understand English and, you know, to watch a movie or cartoon and so forth, she switched straight away in English and she never came back. To Italian, you know, that's another, it's tough because it's difficult. But yes, I definitely think that, you know, you need to have some sort of practice every day. You need to kind of have that little 15, 20, 30 minutes every day where you listen to a podcast, when you listen to an audiobook, when you listen to, you know, whatever. But your mind is getting into it, you know, and I think that's the key.
Yeah, constant practice is necessary.
Yeah, but also you told me that since you came back in Italy, you are now teaching English, no? Where can we find you? Where are you on this social media world or I don't know if you have a website or something.
No website yet.
Okay.
But a couple of social medias, so Facebook and Instagram. You can type Tea Time Belluno, so l'ora del tè, tea time.
Tea time, yeah.
And you, I mean, the main one is Instagram, where we, where I do live chats with native English speakers, where you can hear proper British accent.
Yeah.
And we do quizzes sometimes, and also free group conversations. So, yes, you can follow me there.
Can you tell me about the situation about, you know, Italians that wants to improve their English, they want to learn English? Is it a busy time for you? Have you found that there are quite a few Italians that want to, you know, level up their English in this moment? Or, you know, what's the trend, let's say?
Yeah, the demand in general is high. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I've noticed that it's the level of English is a bit higher than when I was younger. I don't know, some years ago, mm-hmm. I believe, because English is now, let's say, available a bit more everywhere. There are lots of
content, videos, and you can quickly switch to English everywhere on Netflix, on Amazon, all those kind of platforms. And also YouTube as well is a big thing, because if you want to know about particular topics,
exactly,
you should listen directly to in English, let's say. Okay. That's great, Eliana. Thank you very much for this conversation. It's great. I mean, I'm trying to bring value to my audience, talking with people that have an experience abroad, they had an experience, you know, with English in general. And it's also great for, you know, for them to listen to people trying to express themselves in English, because it's difficult. But we are Italians. Of course, we are not native speakers, but we try to do our best to express ourselves in English. And this is more than okay to open ourselves to the world. Because when you have a good level of English, you can read the book in the original language, you can get information, you can do business abroad with people from the US to Asia to wherever. So there's great potential to learn English at some level. It doesn't really matter to be a native speaker. It doesn't really matter that your English is perfect. You don't have to be, let's say, I don't know, a translator, or you need to be an interpreter, you know. You just need to have the tools to speak with everyone in the world. So that's the idea, right?
Absolutely. And that's why I love teaching English, because I've been through that. So I made so many mistakes. I know exactly what's going on in the mind of the students, and I can help them because of that. So I'm not a native English speaker. I make mistakes too sometimes. It's fine, as long as you said that you are able to communicate and to understand a lot.
Great. Thank you very much for being with us today, Eliana.
Thank you.
And I would like to remind everybody that, of course, Praticamente Inglese is on all the platforms. On you know, you can download and you can follow Praticamente Inglese on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, everywhere. And also we have, you know, social pages as well, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. We are on Clubhouse. You can, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn if you want to, you know, give me some advice, tip for next interviews or things like that. So I would like to wish you all a great week ahead, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Eliana.
Bye.
Segui i podcast di Voice sulla tua app di podcast preferita. E se sei un utente Prime, ascoltalo senza pubblicità su Amazon Music.